Hello, everyone. My name is James Baca, known professionally as the Notorious Banker, and welcome to my podcast. We got 40,000 amazing followers strong all over our social media platforms at Notorious Banker on TikTok, Instagram, and of course on Twitter, where I made my hay. I'm the author of High Risk Transaction, the Ryan Coogler Bank of America Incident, now available on Amazon in both ebook and paperback format, as well as Please Try Your Call Again Later. Got a couple of books in the works about the New Mexico State scandal, about turning 40, and you know what? There's so many things that I want to write and not a lot of time, but I promise you I have been empowered in the last couple of weeks to get that done, so you will see some new paperback content from yours truly in the next couple of months here. I promise you that. So, you know, we're here on this podcast, which is typically a big bank podcast. You know, we always talk about Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Chase, Citi, you know, PNC starting to get there, Truist, of course. Working in the banking industry for 13 years has afforded me a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. I understand how things work. I know how it is to be a manager. It's not always fun. You have to make decisions that, you know, basically are not popular all the time. And I have a new Substack column, thenotoriousbanker.substack.com, where I talk about good and bad experiences with management at certain places. And it's not in a way to pick on people. It's a way to make us all better, because I really think, you know, half the stress is just the interactions we have with each other, and they're just not refined. Managers aren't trained properly, and neither are customers for that matter. And I think, you know, compromise is somewhere in between always. And I really think companies need to listen to their clients, and clients need to understand procedures that are set in place by bigger companies. And, you know, whenever you're a huge company, there's not a lot of leeway at times. Don't I know that working at Bank of America? But, you know, all the time that I've been doing this podcast, I've been doing it for 5 years now. Of course, I've been in banking off and on in some capacity for almost 20 years. And helping almost 250,000 clients at Bank of America and thousands more as the Notorious Banker. I know one thing, every situation is different and unique, and you cannot just barrel through customer interactions one way to all people, because everyone has different needs. That's the truth. Now, of course, the last podcast I did was in memory of my grandfather, Predicando Zamora, who passed away. Can't believe it's almost going to be a month next week, 1 month ago. And you know, mourning his loss still. I think about him a lot because I was just talking to him a few weeks ago, you know. So, you know, it's something that really hits close to home, and I was emotional about it. I had the funeral service. It was a lot of work in more ways than one. I was a pallbearer. I cleaned my grandmother's yard the day before. I gave a 10-minute long eulogy at his wake. It's something that was taxing to me, and something that I understood a lot about myself with that 2-day span, because I learned deep down that I'm not a cold, soulless person. You know, I'm a grandson, I'm a son, I'm a brother. I sound like that song. I'm a bitch, I'm a lover. I'm joking, but you know, I'm a lot of things to a lot of people, and banker is just one of them. But banking is my profession, was my profession. Customer service is my forte. And customer interactions are something that mean a lot to me, because I understand the stressors of being on the business side of things. I understand the stressors of being on the customer side of things. But of course, with the passing of my grandfather, there's a lot of things that come up. And there are things that we've talked about in this podcast a few times over the last 5 years regarding passing away and the business of dying. It's not a fun business, I gotta tell you. When you're in banking, when someone has passed away and someone notifies you of that person passing away, it starts the wheels of a whole other vehicle, which takes weeks or months if you bank at a big bank. And you know, there's processes. Each state is different. In New Mexico, you're not an executor or an administrator. You're referred to as a personal representative. Different terminology means different things in different states, so it can get confusing, especially with a national or a regional bank, because you have to know a lot of stuff in every state. And I think that's a lot of things that people don't understand, is they have to get that. Guess what? People have to be cross-trained in a lot of things. Had an interesting conversation with my mom yesterday, and I love my mom to death. She is an intelligent person in the ways that we don't quantify. You know, people quantify intelligence by, you know, did you get your college degree? Did you get your master's, your doctorate, or hell, even your high school diploma? And, you know, my mom has had working experience for pretty close to 50 years. She was a manager at a restaurant. She was a server at a restaurant. She's worked at Walmart as a cashier. She has worked at a gas station. She's had to shoo away hobos. She's had to clean people's shit. She'd had to make people's French fries. And she had to take their order and then ask if they wanted fries with that and then make the fucking fries, okay? My mom knows a lot about the customer service industry just as much as I do. But maybe she can't articulate it the way that I can. But hell, I can and then some. So a conversation that I had yesterday with my mom in regards to the business affairs of my late grandfather was very eye-opening on how the consensus, the general, I don't want to say the general public, that's not what I mean. The average business treats someone who is in that predicament. Because I've often said at Bank of America, you know, I had someone in my office crying saying, you know, my husband just died or my dad just died. And you have to navigate trying to console that person as a human being, but then also have to be a robot and say, well, this is what we have to do in order to get the ball rolling to take care of things, especially if you need to get, you know, his money out or whatever. So there's a lot of paperwork. I don't want to bore you with it. I can help you with some, but there's a couple of steps that we got to do, and it's not going to be today. I just want to set that. It might take days, it might take weeks. It just depends on what you need to do, what the bank needs to do. And I gotta be honest with you, I've been yelled at so many times because of that, because sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it takes 2, 3 months. It's not a let's finish it tomorrow thing. It drags on. And then you see that customer, and then it just becomes very, very uncomfortable. But you know, here's the thing. I became the death person at Bank of America. I laugh at it. And I don't really think it's hilarious, but I was that for a myriad of reasons. One, the zip code that I was in, 88005, was in a community that was an older community. So you tended to see, you know, 50, 60, 70-year-old people in your bank, and a lot of them dropped dead over that time. And it was hard because you would see the customer one day and they'd be dead the next. I had a customer who went in for dental surgery. 3 days later, his daughter comes and tells me he died at the dentist, and it's upsetting. You know, it was a lot to do at that particular center. And as a salesperson, it impacted how I had to hit my sales goals because those things do not take 10 minutes. Those things take hours, and they did impact my time. And while I was glad to help them, I would get yelled at by my bosses in order to achieve my sales goal, saying you didn't do anything today. And in reality, I helped you know, a family through the hardest time of their life. And I really think that people don't understand that, and I appreciated being able to help people, but at the same time, I got so much crap from Bank of America for caring too much, to be honest with you. And the second reason why I became the quote death guy at Bank of America was because we had two branches in Las Cruces, one on Telshore and one on Amador, and I was at Amador. And the bankers that were at Telshore, the other branch, and you know, people will say that it's a rival branch. I mean, we're all supposedly with one team, you know what I mean? We're all pro Bank of America. But the bankers at the other branch were so hell-bent on hitting their sales goals that anytime they had someone that said, oh yeah, so and so died, they say, hey, you know what? We got that James over there at Amador, and he actually takes care of stuff like that. So they would send these morning people to my office so I can work on the death notification from the banks and all that stuff. And they could have done it, and they should have done it. They're supposed to do it. That's part of the job title. But they were so blinded by the sales goals that they were forced to hit that they pawned them off to me. They actually threw more monkey wrenches in my pursuit to be successful. And it caused a lot more work for me. And to this day, I just hate thinking about that because they were some horrible people, and I don't understand how the hell some of those people work there 10, 15, 20 years. It makes no sense to me. Well, I know why, because they hit their sales goals and they pawn all the important stuff off to people who, although I care a lot, you know, I was stuck. I was forced to help these people because they were told that James was the person that you need to talk to, and that was not the case. So, you know, EEU is what Bank of America called their death unit. You know, they call it something else now. And, you know, there was a lot of conversations that were had about, you know, this person had Social Security, this person had veterans benefits, disability, this person gets royalty checks from some brewery that he owned 10 years ago. And, you know, you would have all these conversations about what happens to that money, who gets the money. It's a husband, wife. If the husband's dead, does the wife immediately get the money? If there's only one person on the account and the wife comes in, is she entitled to that money? Do I need paperwork from the court? So on and so forth. It's a checklist of a lot of things to do. And one thing that I will give Bank of America credit for in the last couple of years is they did kind of streamline that checklist. They gave people this paper. We had to print out this paper and just basically told them this is an expectation of how long it's going to take. And, you know, it was never a popular decision, but at least you set the expectation that it's not going to be immediate. And that allowed us time to work. And yes, we were supposed to work, you know, after the doors were closed and stuff like that. And it was not fun. It was a pain in the ass, but we got it done. And I really think that the people who cared got a lot done for customers. And the people who didn't, they used that, you know, it's going to take 8 weeks thing as a reason to kind of just, you know, divest themselves of that interaction and just say, oh, just call the number and they'll help you. And that's just not the way that I did things. And that's one of the things that led to my firing, to be honest with you, was because I was insubordinate in the sense that I wanted to help people with their needs that may not have been sales. And I was a sales manager. So there's a lot of stuff. But we're here on this podcast to talk about a couple of things that I had a conversation with my mom with, and it just really pissed me off. I told you about First State Bank in Socorro, New Mexico, last podcast, and basically the death notification thing is just very, it felt like they forced it, which caused a lot of issues, and I can get into those issues in detail at another time, but basically, they sent the deposit back that my grandfather got, which actually caused an error because the Social Security Department said, hey, we got this money back. Why? And the Social Security Department's supposed to initiate that, not the bank, long story short. So I have a bone to pick with them. The first bone to pick today is with First Financial Credit Union. They are based in New Mexico. Ironically enough, they opened branches here in my hometown of Las Cruces in the last few years. And funny enough, I'm pretty familiar with them because of their affiliation with Casasa, who was a sponsor on this podcast many years ago. And they were the first company to give me credibility, which allowed me to become who I am today. I've never heard anything bad about First Financial as a branch bank themselves. You know, I've heard customer service things here or there, but of course, a lot of my work is with bigger banks, so I tend not to talk about them or have to deal with them. Well, I'm gonna have to deal with them now, okay? So my mom is working to be the personal representative of the estate of my grandfather, and there's a lot of things that they need to tie up vis-a-vis their auto loan that they had. My grandfather had a Nissan Sentra that he financed for the purpose of my mom taking care of him, taking care of my nieces and nephews and whatnot. And it is financed through First Financial. And you know, I understand the car loans are a difficult thing. There are so many people who don't pay their loans. There are so many banks who take losses into the millions of dollars on defaulted loans and whatnot. I understand this. This is part of being a bank, is, you know, assessing risk, mitigating risk, seeing who's a qualified buyer and whatnot. And my grandfather was a good, you know, he had a good credit score. He was able to get things done, which is important. That was important for my mom because she doesn't have good credit. Well, anyway, First Financial, through conversations with my mom, and I guess let me set some backstory here. My grandpa got really sick in the last couple of months, and I'll be frank with you, he probably did not pay bills as consistently as one would hope in the last couple of months. But when you're dying, you tend to kind of, you know, assess things differently, saying, you know what, I got to take care of this instead of that or whatever. I understand that. And I understand that if a bank doesn't know what's going on with you, well, they don't know what's going on with you. I get that. But when they do find out and, you know, someone calls and says, hey, my name is, and I am the daughter of, which my mom did yesterday, and this is what happened to my father. This, you know, this is when, you know, your asshole banker switch needs to turn off, okay? If someone says that someone died, go, you know, I'm very sorry to hear about that. You know, I apologize. you know, this is a call that was made from something that happened beforehand, so we're just following up. You have to be a professional about it because it's a very touchy situation. Well, you know, not the person on the phone yesterday with my mom. And I have some screenshots here that I'm going to go look through. And I understand that everyone's job is hard. Everyone's job sucks. People get yelled at for not doing certain things. There is a person named Cecilia that works for First Financial. And funny enough, I saw the name, and that's my grandmother's name. And I'm like, damn, is this fate? You know, but my grandmother is a very nice person, so I don't think that she would be as rude as what I was told that Cecilia was to my mother. So, long story short, this is what I heard. I wasn't listening to the conversation. My mom notified them of the death of my grandfather prior to whatever. And that's all well and good. And First Financial came with, okay, that's fine. We need the payment in full by Monday. Monday meaning August the fucking 7th, okay? You know, my grandfather has been in the ground for about 9 days now. We're still trying to figure it out. We're still trying to get the death certificate. We're still trying to just figure out what he had and what he didn't have. And they said, yeah, no, we want all the money right now. Like, they're the mafia or something. So, you know, I don't work at First Financial. I've never worked there. I definitely won't work there now. But every bank has a policy when someone passes away that, guess what? There's some things that we have to go through. I just can't talk on your behalf without proof that I'm able to talk on your behalf. So, you know, when my mom identifies herself as the executor, even though that's not what they say in New Mexico, but a personal representative, she needs paperwork, and that paperwork typically comes through a probate judge. And ironically enough, the probate judge in Socorro, New Mexico, was my social studies teacher in high school. So it's someone I know really well. So I know it's something that's going to get done in a timely fashion, because it's a small town. So I know that that's going to happen, and my mom's going to take care of things. But in lieu of that paperwork being ready, the bank needs to stop what they're doing and understand that, hey, guess what? We can't procure fucking papers and court dates out of thin air. We have to get that stuff on the books. We have to have the conversation. We have to get the papers printed out. We have to get the death certificate, by the way, which is kind of an important thing. And then send it to the bank. And then, you know, after they get that and say, okay, well, the estate of your grandfather and then my mom as personal representative. Okay, yeah, give us the fucking money now. Then you can say that. But the fact that they said it before they got all that stuff, before they went through the processes that banks have to do whenever getting notified of the death, is totally out of turn. It is totally out of school, and it is unethical and unprofessional. And I don't know who this Cecilia person is at First Financial, but I can tell you one thing. You know, this person probably is, you know, an auto loan person who has to deal with repos and stuff like that. And I've talked to those people at Bank of America before. Man, they are some a-holes. They're some horrible people. They're the worst people to talk to whenever one of my clients would get their car repoed or something. And boy, I tell you, it was something else. They are a trip. I'm sure they've heard every story under the sun. I'm sure it never gets old hearing the same bullshit over and over again. But you got to have some grace. And even if people are pulling your leg and trying to stall you, you got to let the system play out the way that it plays out. Okay, if my mom says my grandfather died, they say, oh, okay, well, let me notify the bank. We're going to send you a letter stating that we need this in order to take care of that. But no, they are like the mafia, just trying to get the payment in full, because they know chances are that if the payment is not done in full, that they're going to take a loss. It's a heavy-handed way of taking advantage of a person who does not know about banking. But guess what? That person's son is the quintessential expert on banking, who had to deal with this stuff on a near daily basis. I'm not joking. Every single day I had to deal with this. And I'm so frustrated about it. But like I said, I know a lot of those calls and conversations were in regards to maybe if he had a missed payment or something while he was really sick before he passed away. That's fine. That's all well and good. But there's an explanation for it. And although, hey, it's going to impact his credit score, guess what? He doesn't need it. at the same time, you got to have grace and say, oh, okay, well, we're sorry to hear that. Let me take care of the stuff we need to take care of on our end. Do what you need to do, and we're going to have this conversation a little bit later on down the road. But that's just not the way some people do it, because these people are not trained. They're not cross-trained properly. They don't have checks and balances to say, hey, whatever. And then whenever someone gets attacked like that, like my mom felt like she was attacked on the phone, guess what? You know, my mom is emotional, just like a lot of people in this world are. And then they go, that person yelled at me, and I'm never banking with this place again. And then you sound like the fucking crackpot, and the bank sounds like the smart ones who were just trying to do their job. And you're never going to win that argument, but I can win pretty much any argument because I was bank for a very long time. And I got to tell you one thing, okay? The conversation ends at the second that they say, hey, yes, my father has died. It should have ended, but it did not end. So why are we talking about this? Because they said, yeah, no, we want the money in full in a couple of days. Whether or not they get their money or not is not my responsibility, to be frank with you. It's not my mom's responsibility either, although she's wanting to take that to task. However, the fact of the matter is this, okay? I understand that you want your money, but you got to respect the procedures, and I will challenge them every single day to the procedures to make sure that it is done properly. There is no bank on God's green earth that's going to say, yeah, we need the payment in full by Monday without death certificates, without proof of this, because it's kind of impossible to just like fake your own death in this world. There's paperwork that comes with that, okay? That's why fucking people mummify their spouse's remains, because that social security check's gonna stop coming in, you know what I mean? And it's morbid to think about, but if they say, yeah, my husband died, then guess what? The checks stop, the bills become harder, and you don't know what to do. But you're like, hey, I can buy a freezer. I know this sounds fucking morbid as hell, but that's why people do what they do. They're not doing it because they're the freaking BTK killer or something. They do it because they understand that the gravy train stops whenever this person dies. And I'm afraid that my grandmother's going to have to be going through that situation as well. So I have a lot of beef with First Financial. I reached out to them on social media. Hopefully they reach out to me in the next couple of days or so. You know, I don't even want to talk to them. I just want my mom to talk to them with the understanding that, you know what, she has to go through probate, she has to get her per rep docs, she needs to get the death certificate, send it to you, and then you can go from there. It is the bullying of the average customer is the reason why yours truly, the Notorious Banker, started existing in 2018. Because what people don't know is what is used against them to get taken advantage of. And that's the thing, you know. I remember my car breaking down in Vegas in 2007. I don't know a lot about cars, but I know enough. My coworker at Bank of America at the time, her dad is like the expert mechanic in our town. And then whenever my car broke down, this guy was like, oh, we got some oil in the water here, water in the oil, or whatever. I don't know what he said. He said some shit like that. It's like, oh, around these parts, it's going to cost about $4,500. And I'm like, this piece of shit car is not even worth that. So there's no way that it can be $4,500. Maybe in 2023 dollars it could be, but it just was not true. But I had my friend with me who kind of knew mechanic stuff. He's like, nah, that doesn't sound right, $4,500. So I literally rented a fucking U-Haul at a cost of $600 to tow my SUV from Nevada to New Mexico. And there's a whole other story involved with that I don't have time for, but we get the car to Gene, who is the person, the mechanic in Socorro, and he says, yeah, well, you got a bad radiator, you got a bad this and that. I was like, it's going to be $600. So I spent hundreds of dollars on the U-Haul, $600 to repair my car, out of pocket, $1,200. It's a lot of money. Dude wanted $4,500 for it, and Vegas has inflated prices, I get that. But no, he saw a sucker and he said, well, this asshole does not know anything about cars. I can say, oh, yep, the doohickey is tied to the whatchamacallit and the who's that's is connected to this. I sound like Bill Cosby when I say that, but that's what people do. People take advantage. That's why timeshare people are so successful, because they talk fucking fast and they make it sound like they know everything when they really know nothing, okay? And that's why they have timeshare attorneys on commercials saying, we can get you out of your timeshare. So I have a lot of beef with First Financial right now, and I want people to know that. And the thousands of people who listen to this, the, you know, 40-some-odd thousand people on my social media channels need to understand these procedures, because I want to make sure that they don't have to go through the similar thing. Second part also has to do with my mom's vehicle, and it is with Malloy Nissan. Now, this is a long, complicated story, and I do not want to bore you with it, okay? But When all this happened and my grandfather died, my mom had a broken down car and she didn't know what to do. She said, "Hey, it's going to cost thousands of dollars. It's going to be impossible to fix. We don't have the money." So she got in touch with Malloy Nissan, who said, "Well, you know what? There's a recall for the so-and-so part on here. Just bring it over to Malloy Nissan and we can get it taken care of." Well, Malloy Nissan's 80 miles away from my mom in Socorro, New Mexico. So she talked to the insurance company, said, "Do I have tow coverage on my car?" And they said, "Yeah, we'll reimburse you. It's going to cost you hundreds of dollars or whatever." And she paid out of pocket to get it towed from Socorro, New Mexico to Albuquerque to Malloy Nissan. I don't know if she got her money back from the insurance company. That might be another conversation we have to have. But she left it there. My grandpa died. We had the funeral with services and whatnot, and it was rough. We don't have time to think about such things. Car was supposedly going to get fixed with this recall notification that they had on this particular model of car. Well, it turns out that they, I don't know if they lied. I don't want to say that. That's strong wording, but they misled my mom into believing that the recall had something to do with what's wrong with the car. And they said, "Well, we can fix this part, but this other part's still broken and it's going to cost thousands of dollars to fix." Well, my mom just can't tow it back. She's going to have to pay for that as well. That's just impossible. And I understand, I understand, space is at a premium, but it's not fucking Hong Kong. It's not, it's not Shanghai, China, where people live on one on top of one another. You know what I mean? So it's in a parking lot and it can't be fixed because they don't have the money to fix it. And they were misled into believing that the recall was going to fix whatever they thought was broken. And at a cost of $400, it was moved there. So they called my mom and said, "Yeah, you need to get your car out of here. We're going to start charging you storage fees." Not having any grace whatsoever. "Hey, my father just died and I'm trying to figure shit out with money." It's like, "Yeah, no, get it out of here or we're going to be forced to charge you X amount of dollars a day in storage fees." As if they're a fucking pods location. As if they're a U-Haul storage locker that the fucking, yep, guy's going to be at the Storage Wars and the wow factor guy and all that. No, it is just sitting in a parking lot where I'm sure there's an empty space. The whole fucking idea of a car dealership is a gigantic parking lot. That's the whole premise of it, right? Except for like Carvana, and we've seen all the problems that they've had in the last couple of years. So you want to threaten my mom with paying fees because you want to get out because it's not your problem, yet you still would want them to fix your car there. Or you want them to go there that way and say, "Hey, we got a deal for you. We got a 2022, this and that." Because salespeople are gross. I know this. I have a friend from back home who was the sister of my first manager at Bank of America, Liliana. Her name is VD. She is a cool person. She's about my brother's age. She's a really nice person. And, I am cordial with her still to this day because of all of the, interactions I had with her whenever she was a kid with my old boss. So, she knew that I did kind of this consumer advocacy stuff before I was the Notorious Banker. And she told me that she took her car to a dealership here in Las Cruces to get the oil changed. And then when she came to pick it up, it was T-boned. Someone literally T-boned the fucking car at the car dealership in the parking lot where it was smashed beyond recognition. It was a total loss. Total loss. And they said, "Well, no, it came here like that." And I was like, "You gotta be fucking kidding me. It did not come here like that." Why would someone pull that scam that could be easily debunked with cameras? So no, it was not T-boned upon arrival for the oil change, because I think people at the car dealership would be like, "Hey, look at that fucking T-boned car. It wants an oil change. How weird is that?" No, they lied about that. And then whenever she was dealing with the insurance to come pick it up and all that, because they also said that to her, is like, "Get this car out of here." I was like, "Fuck, you're the ones that wrecked it. Give me some time." So she went over there to go pick it up, and the salesperson says, "Well, we're not covered for insurance with this type of thing because, this is your car, so you need to go through your insurance company. But hey, let me show you what we got. It's the same model, and it's only 19,000, whatever." And she told me that, and I fucking flipped out. I had like a panic attack. I was like, "What a fucking slimy business person to just you wreck their car, and it's like, oh hey, guess what? We got a better deal for you because they want their commission." I'm like, oh my God, man. So Malloy Nissan in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I will post their phone number on the podcast show notes here. You need to do better, okay? Sometimes shit happens, and threatening A person who's dealing with bills with another bill because someone passed away is low, even for car salesmen, even for gross car salesmen. That's why I always paid cash for my cars. Like, I don't want to fucking deal with you. I don't even want to pay for a car at a dealership. I'll buy a private sale because of that shit. I don't even care if the car's broken. At least I don't have to deal with you. But Malloy Nissan is on my shit list, too, for saying that type of thing. And if they send my mom a fucking bill, oh, I'm going to send them to the moon on social media. Because, you know what? It's just called being a nice person sometimes, okay? You make exceptions. Even assholes at Bank of America and Wells Fargo, manager assholes, even they have a heart sometimes, and they know that they have a method to make an exception if they absolutely have to. They don't want to, but they have the systems in place to do it. So, you know, when you have a lot with 2,500 cars and maybe 3,000 parking spaces, you can spare one fucking parking space for a little bit while you figure shit out. And if you don't want to do that, sell it, you know, sell the car to us, and we'll sell the car to you for X amount of dollars, and then you can fix it up and you can oversell it and make your money back. I know that that's kind of a pipe dream and that's kind of the old-fashioned way of thinking about things, but you know what? You know, yelling at someone to pick up their shit when they're trying to deal with the shit, you know, from 80 miles away is just, it's not cool. And shame on them. Shame on them. You know, there's a couple of bank things that we had to talk about with my grandfather's stuff. He had a Home Depot card and, of course, the local bank. There's a lot of that stuff that takes time, and I'm going to update you with that because I have a platform to update you on that. But just hearing that conversation yesterday and then understanding that, you know, we're still trying to figure out what happened with my grandfather. We're still trying to, you know, take care of my grandma. We're still trying to take care of all the stuff that is the business of him and the business of them as a household. It's just very difficult at times. And some people just need to have grace, okay? Yes, I always tell my wife this, you know, the world just goes on. You know, when someone that you love dies, guess what? You still have to laugh a couple days later at something you heard that's on the radio or whatever. Or you still have to, you know, use the restroom. You still have to, you know, eat your Wheaties and whatnot. That's part of living life. That's part of just, you know, growing up, being an adult, is you have to still soldier on. And that's kind of an old tired phrase. You just got to soldier on whenever it hits the fan and whenever bad things happen, because you got a family, you got a job, you got other parts of your life that you need to take care of. But when the First Financial Credit Unions and the Malloy Nissans of the world just berate a 60-year-old woman into trying to figure out what's going on with an 85-year-old deceased man's business, well, that's not doing your job right, okay? Yes, your job is to get payment for your car. Yes, your job is to make sure that this car is not in our lot anymore because it's not ours or whatever. But have some understanding, because this shit will happen to you. What I mean by that is people will die in your friends and family at some point, and you're going to have shit that you have to deal with in regards to their business. I don't mean to make this podcast about me. It's about you guys. It's about my fans, my followers, my listeners. But I want you to understand one thing, that even the notorious banker, even the notorious banker's family has to deal with this stuff too. The only difference between me and you is I have the expertise to know that a lot of it is bullshit. And I have the confidence to challenge people at the very minimum at the processes that they have and don't have, because I was all about processes in the company that is the second biggest bank in the world. There's processes for, you know, someone peeing on the fucking floor in the bathroom, for God's sakes. There's paperwork you have to fill out. So I know that there's paperwork you have to fill out when someone dies, okay? But have some grace, people. People who work in a place where they have to deal with people who may have lost a loved one, have some grace. I talked a lot of smack kind of about the funeral purchasing process that my mom and I had to go through on the last podcast. And while it's kind of grimy and slimy, the one thing that I can say is those people showed up at the wake. Those people showed up when we buried my grandpa, you know. I don't like the sales portion of it, but the service part was top-notch. And the service part was the most important thing at the end of the day. They did what they could. They showed us what they could. And they believed, they made me believe that, you know, they cared in that moment about what was going on with us. And that was important to me, and I thank them for that. But just like everything else in life, there's other assholes you have to deal with, and I'm dealing with a couple of them now. So I will keep you posted on that. I wanted to throw a podcast on here soon, you know, because then there's been a couple of delays lately with the way that I've been doing things. I've been writing and stuff. I apologize about that. But thank you so much for listening to me on this podcast. You can follow me at Notorious Banker on TikTok, Instagram, and of course on Twitter/X, whatever. The NotoriousBanker.substack.com has all of my columns. You can also find my books on Amazon, Please Try Your Call Again Later, A Story About My Journey for Unemployment Benefits, and of course, High Risk Transaction, The Ryan Coogler Bank of America Incident. Both of them are available in paperback and ebook format on Amazon. You make a purchase, 25% of the proceeds will go to feeding the needy in this town. Got a lot more tricks on my sleeve, my friends, but I will be back with another podcast soon enough. So thank you very much for listening to this one. I really appreciate it. And you know what? Hug your loved ones and also ask them the question, do you have your affairs in order in case something happens? You don't need to know their life story while they're still alive, but you need to know where the life story is located, okay? Until we meet again, my friends, my name is James Baca, known professionally as the Notorious Banker, signing off, wishing you a good weekend, and we'll talk to you really soon. You have a good day.